welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bum in the Bloom, episode 241. It's Fab preview night, folks. Previewing week 8 Fab coming up for you. Won't be quite as exciting, I don't think, as the previous weeks, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll go schedule by schedule and talk about all the goodies we do every single Thursday evening. But first off, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric. The Patreon is patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And you can find the podcast on Twitter at Bubba Bloom Pod. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
We're good. Happy Thursday evening, my friend. Been a good week, been a long week, a week that has included a rare non-baseball crossover between the two of us and at Bubba in the Bloom, and that's your band playing at my school. Which has been pretty cool to see. Metallica played at they were in Blacksburg last night, Wednesday night, doing their live show at Virginia Tech, which was really freaking sweet. I know we were talking about that a bunch. So yeah, that was cool. I don't know. You're probably going to see them. So
yep, in June in Denver, Friday and Sunday show, both shows. So if anybody's in the Denver area, my Saturday is kind of loose scheduled at the moment. Breweries, bars, who knows? So maybe we can hang, watch some ball. Rockies are out of town, so figure something out there. But yeah, it's been pretty cool watching the Metallica stuff.
Oof. Rockies probably would be sold out anyway if you were, if they were in town. they got doubleheader today. They got, I think they lost 21-3 combined.
It's amazing they scored 3 runs.
Yeah. Brutal.
They're so bad. And it's to the Tigers, who at least we know are good this year. But like, if we would have said that 2 years ago, we'd probably be like, what? How? Yeah. So it's even crazier that it took place in such a fashion, I guess we'll say. The Rockies are just, Rockies go full. Like, it's almost, who goes full Rockies worse, the Rockies or the White Sox? They need to have a battle for the toilet bowl by some point this season. Yeah, that'd be great. Well, must see TV. Hopefully all my schedule will be opened up and we can play back TV one of those games. That would be pure. That might be better than watching Bobby Miller blow up. No, not much is going to beat that. But pretty close. Pretty close, I think.
The White Sox at least have some Papel support. Yeah, true. Now, so
true. Papel support. Well played. Well played. All right, let's get into it. We'll talk. We've got a couple little news and notes because on the Fab preview, we hit most of the relevant news throughout the Fab, but we'll hit on some of the bigger ones over the last couple days. Noelvi Marte heads to the IL with a grade 2 oblique strain, like minimum 4 weeks, most likely closer to 8 weeks when we're done talking about this. I've talked about it in Breakfast with Bubba the last 2 days. Super frustrating because when Terry Francona discussed it when Marte left 2 nights ago, he was hit on the side in AAA and kind of tweaked his side, obviously. And then about a week and a half or so ago, playing catch at third base for the Reds, hurt his side again. And now in batting practice, hurt it again, and now he has a grade 2 strain. So these are the things, Ryan, we talked about with pitchers earlier in the season. Like, oh, I'm going to pitch through it for 2 innings. This is the stuff that makes me very cranky.
It does, but it happened. And I think for me, the biggest thing, like the timing of it with Marte, like it seemed like he was starting to kind of come into his own and actually look somewhat like the prospect we thought he might be. So it's tough. I think even tougher is the Reds third base situation coming out of that. I mean, we've been down Santiago Espinal road before, and it's a rocky road. So.
Who would have thought we would be begging for Jaime Candelario to come back?
They called up this week was Reese Hines. The ghost of Reese Hines is back. So,
before he got called up, homered in 3 straight AAA games. He's 8 homers on the year, hitting .281. So,
deja vu.
He's balling out. Let's see what he can do. The thing is, though, he started in right field the first game Marte was out because Espinal played third. So I was still kind of like, yeah, what are we doing here? And looking at like their roster, they don't have a whole lot of options is the problem. They have a ton of outfielders on their roster, not a lot of infielders at the moment. So we'll have to kind of see how that one comes to play. Sticking in Cincinnati, Ryan, Hunter Green left his start on Wednesday with a groin injury. On Thursday, the MRI revealed a grade 1 groin strain. At first, the Reds weren't sure if they're going to put him on the IL, which made me chuckle. And then shortly thereafter, he was placed on the IL. He's going to be out for a couple of weeks, obviously. It's a grade one strain, which is the best of the bunch if we're going to have one. Still a strain nonetheless. And boy was dealing. So it's a big, big bummer.
Big bummer. I mean, we just talked about Hunter Green. We maybe bubbling the Bloom curse. We just talked about Hunter Green as the biggest skills riser from 2025 or from 2024 to this season, in terms of swinging strike and ball percentage and that sort of thing. So yeah, at least it's not an arm, I guess. And I guess it's the same, like Teoscar has a grade one groin. So maybe those guys can race to return and see what the actual timetable is. Cause I know you were venting in the Discord earlier about, your boy, Dave Roberts, saying he'll be out a while. And then now it's only such 2 weeks for Teoscar and, yeah, who knows? Our good doctor came in and set the timeline straight, Dr. Ferretti. So we have that.
It looks like we haven't heard what the corresponding move is, but I'd imagine Chase Petty might get a second chance. He made his MLB debut a week or so ago. It could be him. It could be Connor Phillips. Those seem to be the two front runners to come up and join the rotation. I think Petty might get another crack at it here. I know Rhett Lauder is on the
Rhett Lauder. Yeah, I was going to. He's rehabbing.
He's getting stretched out. Yeah, he's rehabbing. So it's weird, though. It feels like when his rehab's done is if it could be the earliest time for Green to return, possibly. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Well, it's kind of wait and see, obviously, but not excited about any of them, to be truthful. All right. Agreed. Here are you, apparently. No,
my silence is agreement, which, like, I should at least give a head nod or at least some type of, like, indication to you that, like, I'm actually listening to you.
Yes, because yeah, I'm used to not getting listened to, so it's okay. Couple quick bits of news here. We'll elaborate more on this news throughout the pre-fab preview. But, like, Zach Eflin will make his return from the IL on Sunday, so if you're in daily leagues, be prepared for that. Otherwise, obviously, wait until next week. And then Cade Horton of the Chicago Cubs is getting called up to make his debut, 2022 first round draft pick. He's coming up to take Shota's spot in the rotation. Should pitch Saturday this weekend. That's against the Mets in New York. So keep that in mind. So that's where we're kind of heading with those ones.
Yeah, and Horton's first. So we'll get the look on Saturday, which will surely dictate the fab bidding for Cade Horton. And then it looks like he's lined up to get the White Sox next week, so that would obviously be pretty good. So yeah, we'll talk about Horton a little bit more once we get to the Cubs, but if he looks good Saturday, be ready to spend
a ridiculous amount of money.
I you know me, and I know you. I don't think we're going there, but we'll get there.
If I can get him for like $22, come on down, otherwise it ain't happening. Steven Crawford in the chat here says, speaking of playing through injuries, how about William Contreras playing with a broken finger? It's been broken for a while. And he's still one of the best hitters in the catching position still. So he's going to power through because he's the king, and he does not leave his soldiers behind for some little broken middle finger. And at worst, he gets to show people where it's at.
Exactly. That's the best part. Yes. Are you worried about King William, though?
No.
I'm not either.
I'll be honest. Like, a broken anything is never good to play through, but, like, am I really worried? No, because all catchers are going to – they probably have some kind of messed up finger or something throughout the season, just catching in general.
Yeah.
And if you look at William, he's hitting .242, which you'd love to be better, but a .284 BABIP's way lower than the last three seasons. Has three homers, four stolen bases, so he's running well. And 3% barrel rate's less than ideal. Like, the numbers are down. There's no hiding that, but I'm not worried about King William right now. Like, I think we'll be just fine when all things are said and done.
Agreed.
All righty. With that being said, Ryan, let's get to our Week 8 Fab preview.
Week 8 is coming. We've got, let's see, just a general view of the schedule. There are no 5-game weeks for Week 8, which is always nice. We've got not too many 7-gamers either. So it's Houston, Texas. They get 7 games. The Braves get 7. The Nationals get 7, 6 righties in that group, and that's it. So only 4 teams get 7 games next week. Vast majority get one off day with the 6-game schedule. So a little bit light on the schedule side for this week, but that is okay.
That is okay, and that'll also be a trend because might be some light on the ad drops on the week as well when things are all said and done. All right, kick things off here. In the AL East, Baltimore Orioles, 6 games this week, all at home. 3 versus the Twins, 3 versus the Nationals, 1 lefty, 5 righties. Only thing I'm going to say is it feels like everyone we keep trying to recommend is taken because they keep facing a ton of righties.
They do. And I feel like we're a broken record keeping saying Ryan O'Hearn, but
who's rostered everywhere now.
Jackson Holliday is another one. I think, was it you who said, like, it's like I talked to other people. No, it was you. Said, you know, on my various other podcasts, I have. I had talked to other people about Jackson Holliday. You were thinking about dropping the guy, right?
Oh, week. Sunday morning, he was a drop in one of my ad drops for the week. And then I was out doing stuff and he double donged. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll hold on one more week. But like I said, like even after that, his overall stat line was still less than to be desired. He went 1 for 5 on Thursday. Since the double dong, he's now 2 for 13. He's back to doing absolutely nothing.
Okay.
And that's the thing, is like the double dong is great. We know there's maybe a deeper skill set there, but his overall profile on a day-to-day basis has been less than rosterable, especially in shallower formats.
Another one who's been less than rosterable that we talk about every week is Heston Kjerstad. Just it doesn't seem to be happening right now.
Tyler O'Neill's close to returning too.
Yeah, good point. Good point. And then the last thing I have with the Orioles is Orioles going to Oriole. Kobe Mayo, like, what are we doing? Yep. It's been up. He's been benched for 2 games. He DH'd today. It's just like, if you want this guy, like Emmanuel Rivera played third base over Kobe Mayo today at DH. I just don't get it. But that's been the Orioles MO for quite some time. So it had me off of Kobe Mayo when Mayo was called up. And I just think, like, even if Mayo produces, the playing time doesn't look like it's going to be there right now. So be very tepid if you're interested in Mayo or need a corner infield spot there.
Yeah, I would not be too aggressive in that one. Keep an eye on Jorge Mateo. I'm not saying to add him right now, but if Holliday continues to struggle, that's when we get Mateo that comes in and hits like 270 and steals a million bases. So yeah. Just someone to keep in mind because he's back healthy and not playing full time just yet.
This guy's traded for Luis F. Castillo today.
Yes. What? That was yesterday.
But, whatever.
Yeah, for cash considerations, that sneaky player, cash considerations. Yeah. The best part was people that don't know how to read full sentences originally thought it was the other Luis Castillo from Seattle, which was glorious. And maybe after tomorrow's start, Luis Castillo should be traded. We'll see. Time will tell on that one, because writing him up for the daily matchups, Ryan, that profile still does not feel good with me right now.
The normal Luis Castillo?
The senior version, yes. Senior? Yeah. Senor. Normal. Senor Castillo.
Yes. Yeah, it hasn't been great.
No. All right, let's go to the Boston Red Sox here. 6 games this week. 3 at Detroit, which is Job, Mize, and Skule. Not the best matchups there. And then 3 at home against Atlanta. Sale, Holmes, Schwellenbach. Rough week for Boston. Yeah. 2 lefties, 4 righties. This is just one of those, I guess, see who they pull up to first base, if it's even relevant, which it probably won't be. Otherwise, I'll probably just pass it on this team altogether.
Ditto. I was curious to see, because I think I have Romy Gonzalez in some draft and holds, like pretty versatile guy. And actually there are some skills there, but it doesn't look like the Red Sox are making Romy their everyday first baseman. They called up Abraham Toro, who started at first base a couple times and like splitting time with Romy. So I don't think either one is the answer. Doesn't sound like Rafael Devers is the answer at first base either. No. For the Red Sox. That was an ordeal today. There were some quotes from Devers just basically refusing to move
not
over
a team
to first base.
That's what I'll say. Not a team player.
Yeah. So I don't know what they're going to do at first, but I kind of wish it was Romy Gonzalez, at least for a little bit, but it doesn't look like Romy is going to be the regular guy there. So I think we just avoid it altogether. And then if we do that, yeah, I don't see really anything else on the Red Sox worth fabbing right now.
The one to watch and probably watch, he's probably not available, is they're stretching or they're working Vaughn Grissom at first base in the minors. He's going to get some run at some point this year.
I did not know that. Okay. Yes,
they've put him ever since the Casas injury. He's pretty much there, so keep an eye on that. And maybe we'll probably, I wouldn't be shocked, maybe another week, and then they'll give him a shot. So you said it's Romy, it's Toro. And to Adam Lee's point in the chat here, I have a hunch Romy Gonzalez would have played first again today. It feels like he's every 2 out of 3. He collided with Josh Smith on Wednesday, had to leave the game with back issues.
That's right.
So it feels like Romy was going to be like the two-thirds, the three-quarter guy with Toro getting some run until I think Grissom's the one they want. They want to find a spot for him, and this is the one. Ideally, they would want to find a spot for Masataka Yoshida, the DH, but Rafael Devers has a stick up his, and we can just go from there, because I'm sorry, but I don't care how much money you pay. You're on a team about this point in time. Figure it out, buddy.
Yeah.
I digress. Yankees fans, Yankees, six games this week, three at Seattle, three versus the Mets. One lefty, five righties. Like, it's another Trent Grisham week if he's available. That's all I'm gonna say. The dude just keeps crushing. He's up to 85% now in 12s. But
broken record there. But yeah, hitting leadoff most days and deservedly so. It's a righty heavy week. So like any lefties, I apologize if I mispronounce this one, but Yorbit Vivas, second base. Kind of like a contact stolen base guy, but no power there. You have to be, I think, pretty desperate up the middle if you want to go there. But I think we'll play with five righties, but that's pretty much it. Devin Williams continues to be a hold. Frustrating, but can't really do anything else there. Honestly, Fernando Cruz. So, like, we talk on Tuesday at our live Bloomberg show, like just how bad the free agent pool is for starting pitchers. Like I would take Fernando Cruz right now over a shitty starting pitcher any week right now, because Cruz is actually somewhat in the saves mix, getting wins and just pitching well overall for a good Yankees team. So if I just think we've had a couple of questions about that, like multi-inning guys, and Cruz isn't one of those guys, but I just think the ratios are good and he's in position to get some a winner save here and there.
And the way the Yankees play, he'll probably get three innings a week, basically.
Yeah.
I picked him up in a 15 when Devin got demoted. I'm like, I can't afford Weaver, but I put like small bids up for Fernando, got him at least one of the 15. So I endorse that statement. I want to get your thoughts on this, because it might sound asinine to many, but similar to the Jackson Holiday discussion, why are we holding on to Jason Dominguez right now? Dude's hitting 231 with two homers and three steals and plays like maybe probably 3 to 4 times a week right now.
Yeah. Cause if you drafted him, you believe in him. That's it, but yeah,
we're getting close to that spot though, where beliefs need to go out the freaking window. So I'm not saying people have to do it yet, but it's time to start really looking deep on this one.
Think about it. Especially, I mean, again, if Dominguez was playing every day, I would say like, no, I mean, whatever. It's struggling. He'll be fine. But if the four games a week thing continues, I don't see how Jason Dominguez is a rosterable player, certainly in 12s.
Like eventually Grisham will get hurt or slow down. So Dominguez
will get his
chance and flourish in the second half. Like I'm not thinking I don't think Dominguez is washed. He's just young, getting his first run and not playing every day. So it's like we talk about you can only stash like one or two people. He's essentially an IL stash for you because you're not starting him. So that's where you have to start thinking, is he worth it? Mm-hmm. And Michael C. says he benched him. I've been benching him for a couple weeks. So I haven't dropped him yet. But in 12s, it's a tough hold right now. I'll tell you that much. So I just wanted to bring that conversation up to others that might be dealing with that situation. Yep. Tampa Bay Rays, they have six games this week, all on the road. Three at Toronto, three at the Miami Marlins. All right-handed pitching, folks. That is not good when you're a platoon heavy team and you're trying to get like a Christopher Morel in the lineup or something, who was literally played one righty this week, but strictly lefties pretty much for Morel. Mm-hmm. What are we doing this week, Ryan? Because it is, not great.
It's rough. Cause I was going to say Jonathan Aranda, but he's widely rostered, but great week to at least start him. And you know, he's kind of a platoon guy. Plays a little bit against lefties. I do think this is probably the week to drop Morel. I don't like we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, but like I don't think he might start one or two games all week in a week where the Rays don't face any lefties. And it's again to what we were just talking about with Dominguez, and I would argue Dominguez has a higher fantasy ceiling than Christopher Morel. I think maybe that ship's already sailed in 12s. I don't know, but I've got Morel and I still I think in a 12 still and a couple 15s. And I think it might be time to move on, which means, of course, Christopher Morel was going to go on some epic heater in mid-May and make me look like an idiot. But that's the game we love.
I'm in the same boat with you. Like we talked about almost dropping him recently anyways. I guess is the time to move on is what it comes down
to. What about like other the lefty platoon guys, Ben Rortvedt, if you need a catcher. Like, I don't know if you can roll with Danny Jansen in two catcher leagues anymore. He's been terrible. Yeah. Travis Jankowski.
You could add Meisner Meisner if you want. He's playing in plenty. Yeah.
He's probably pretty widely rostered. So
49%.
Incorrect again, I am. So wow.
I was surprised too. I was surprised too. When I looked at it, I thought it'd be higher as well. Okay. He has slowed down a ton.
Yes.
But a good week to hopefully get back on the horse.
Agreed.
That's the best way I'd put that.
Yep.
All righty. Let's get to the Toronto Blue Jays. They have six games as well this week, all at home. Three against Tampa, three against Detroit, which is a Flaherty, Olson, Joe. That Detroit rotation, my Atlanta. That's a tricky one. All six games, right-handed pitching for Toronto, Ryan. Anything standing out to you here with some of these kind of off-the-wall guys like Berger, Lucas, stuff like that?
Yeah, I think certainly not Lucas, your guy, of course. Dalton Varsho is widely rostered. I think Addison Barger, like if you're desperate, the guy's hitting 162 with no homers, no steals, and 40 plate appearances, like that's not great, but has a couple barrels so far. He's not striking out. Like, there's at least some semblance of skill for Addison Barger, and he probably starts six times this week. So is he outfield third? Yes, he's outfield third eligible, which, again, if you're just trying to have some depth pieces and have coverage, I think that could work as a cheap streamer for this week.
I'll throw out there again, it's more of a desperation heave ho, as Ernie Clement started for Andrés Giménez today at second base. Not a ringing endorsement, hitting 245 with no homers and a steal on the season and 101 plate appearances, but could get regular run in your deep performance again. Nothing I'm super, super in love with.
They also called up Jonathan Class A, who was like a stolen base machine in the minors. They got him from Seattle. I don't think the playing time will be there, though.
Yeah, I would rule against that, but just because they're pretty locked into the outfield.
They are. Yes, they are.
There. It wasn't more of a play against Class A to your comments there, more just the way the Jays roll type situation. God,
they've got Miles Straw, too. Dude, I'm just throwing out names, yeah. Man. Jesus, this is bad.
So are the Rays. Or so are the Jays, I mean. So are the Jays.
Well, so are the Rays, too. But
yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Good Lord. I'm looking at more of the roster here. Yeah. All right, let's move on to the AL Central, and we'll start with the Chicago White Sox. What a way to start off. Chicago White Sox, they have six games this week, all on the road. Three in Great American, which is a plus. Ashcraft, Lodolo, Martinez could get something there for somebody. And three at the Cubs, probably Horton, Boyd, and Ray. So two lefties and four righties more often than not there with the White Sox. Anything standing out to you with the pale hose?
Not really. I mean, they picked up a Pope today. That's nice for them. Would not recommend fabbing the Pope, but you could look at, honestly, Miguel Vargas hasn't been that bad recently. Still hitting second every day and third base outfield. Like, that is, like, I would put Vargas above Addison Barger. Maybe it's pronounced Barger, but Vargas is an option. Outside of that, dude, I mean, Edgar Caro, we've talked about. Lubob's starting to turn around a little bit. He's played better. Hopefully Chase Meidroth can figure out how to catch a pop fly this week. That'll work. But
or go John Olerud and wear a helmet out there, one of the two.
Oh, Olerud. Excellent. Excellent pull. But no, that's about it. And yeah, the stream against thing, it's like you said, it's Ashcraft, Lodolo, Martinez, Horton, Boyd, Ray. So soft landing spot for Mr. Horton's second MLB start. But outside of that, I don't know if you want to roll with Ashcraft even against the White Sox.
I hope some very creative people use the Horton Here's a Who from Dr. Seuss and do something with that, please. Just make it work somewhere along the lines. I just wanted to top a little add on to your Vargas comments here. In the last 13 games entering Thursday, hitting 360, two homers over that stretch, walking almost 14% with a 10% K rate, which is really good. Excuse me. I got to start talking White Sox. I get sick. And, but the barrel rate, hard hit rate is still down. But overall, to your point, he's producing, he's hitting second, and you get three games in Great American. So I'm all about seeing what we can get there for sure. All right, Cleveland Guardians, six games this week, three at home versus Milwaukee, three at the Cincinnati Reds, two lefties, four righties. What do you like here?
I mean, the hottest guy on the planet right now, Daniel Schneeman, has had a week. I think we've been down this. So, like, I think Daniel Schneeman is going to be somewhat heavily bid on if he has a big weekend as well. I just don't see it there. I think we've been down this path with Schneeman, who was it last year where he's hot for a little bit? And
yes.
Popular in a couple weeks of ads, but I don't know. 28-year-old, pretty much journeyman. Even with a couple hot weeks last year in the majors, it was a .218 batting average, over 30% K rate in over 220 plate appearances. Even this year, he's barreling it up so far, 80 plate appearances, but the plate approach is still pretty rough. So I may bid on Daniel Schneeman, but I'm probably not getting him. I'm not going to be that aggressive on him.
Yeah, what people are seeing in his seven games in May, 24 plate appearances, hitting .421 with three homers.
Yeah.
Walking almost 17% with an 8% K rate. That's what they're seeing. 22% barrel and 50% hard hit. It's good. It's real good. Seven games, but really good stuff there. And the matchups, you know, you get Chad Patrick, Quinn Priester, Quintana.
Yeah.
Then you go to Great American. Like, it's worth a definite bid. There's no denying that. Just don't get overly invested, is what we're both, I think, trying to say.
Yep. Agreed. I'll give a shout to your boy, Gabriel Arias. Just continues to kind of do his thing, and I don't think is that widely rostered. 49% in NFBC 12 teamers, eligible at second, third, and short. Super useful, plays pretty much every day. So Gabriel Arias is a nice depth piece as well. I don't think has the highest ceiling in the world, but he's somebody who like started hot and hasn't really slowed down that much, which is nice to see as kind of the book starts to come out on him.
Most definitely. All right, so the Detroit, six games this week, three at home versus Boston, three at Toronto, all right-handed pitching for the Tigres to figure out this week, and it keeps going. The beat goes on. Javi Baez continues to rake. He's up to 85% now, but my God, continues to produce.
Didn't start today on Thursday. Or
game
maybe,
two. Game
yeah,
two.
Yeah, did doubleheader. One. That's right. He started game one, so don't want to overdo it, Javi, but no, the Javi heater continues for another week. That is nice to see. Another kind of sneaky guy has been his former position mate, Trey Sweeney, has hit pretty well.
Very well, yep.
And I think is pretty widely available. Trey Sweeney, yes, is available everywhere. 3% of NFBC 12 teamers. You know, not the best skills out there, but I think decent batting average, some pop. He's run a little bit as well this year. So if you need a middle infield option, playing time will be there for Trey Sweeney. I like where he's going.
Yep. Sweeney's a great call. I actually thought of you because you've mentioned him in the past, other than our Sydney Sweeney cousins jokes from last
year. Right.
But Trey, he had a couple home runs last week. If he hit in both games, like he went 4-for-8 in the doubleheader. I'm assuming he hit in both games. That would, so there you go. And that would give him a 9-game hitting streak right now, I believe, which is outstanding. So, yeah, I'm all aboard that call. Love the Sweeney call. I think we were all kind of hoping this would happen. And it's funny. I made the tongue-in-cheek joke on one of my shows. It's amazing what happens when a young player hits every day. Like, you just let them play. Ever since Javi went to center so he could play it, so Sweeney was in the lineup every day, boom. Now he's, like, getting comfortable. Shocker. I know how that's very surprising to some. So
Not the Orioles, but, yeah.
No. The Orioles find ways to keep them, not trade them, and see what happens next because that's good baseball, folks. All right, let's head to the Kansas City Royals. Six games this week, three at Houston, three versus the St. Louis Cardinals, two lefties, four righties. On tap, anything with the Royals?
Dude, I did not realize how on fire the Royals are.
Yes, I've been stacking them so much right now. Well, they've played three against the White Sox. That always helps. But yes.
Dude, they've won 15 of their last 17 games. Like, that is freaking nuts. I heard that today on MLB Network. I was like, is that right? It is. Mikel Garcia, Mighty Mikel, is
balling.
Just balling out. That is nice to see. Mount Massey even gained some elevation this week as well. We've had some of that. Outside of that, I've had Drew Waters in a couple 15 teamers. I think he stole a base today, but I don't know. There's not too much from a fab standpoint here that I'm super interested in. Even like Massey or Kyle Isbell, it's a four righty week. So I don't, you know, there's not a ton of intrigue there as a streamer.
Yep. I'm with you. There's not much for me here. The big bats are all accounted for. Freddie Freeman still gets plenty of playing time in deeper leagues if you need a catcher too, but not one of my top options, but he's playing enough to definitely earn. Like, he's playing, he played four of the last six games. He's playing pretty good amount for a catcher too in a deep, like a 15 team format. But yeah, other than that, everybody's pretty much rostered. If somehow Jonathan Indy is out there, I've seen him in a few 12s here and there.
Huh.
Fix that. But yeah. It's not very often. It's like probably less than, you know, 5%. But those are the kind of things that we talked about it with like Royce Lewis and other guys. Some guys will find their way to slip through. So, hey, we talked about it on our Discord. Somebody dropped Ozzie Albies in a 12.
Yep.
There's some other drops. Just kind of check your drops and see what's going on out there is the way I'll put it. Minnesota Twins, six games this week, three at Baltimore, three at Milwaukee, one lefty, five righties for the Twins. Trevor Larnach should be rostered pretty much everywhere by now, but other than that, what are you liking here in Minnesota?
Larnach, yeah, is 91%. Twins are starting to get a little bit hot and healthy. So this week they had Royce Lewis and Willie Castro come back. I think it was last week Carlos Correa came back. Yep. So that is nice to see. They are a pretty, like, it's funny, for as much of a line change team as this was last year, when fully healthy, the Twins really only have one platoon guy, and that's Trevor Larnach. Everyone else is pretty much locked in. I know Brooks Lee isn't the, you know, sexiest name out there. Just want to note that he is continuing to play every day at second or third. So, you know, in deep leagues, Brooks Lee, I thought maybe he would start to see the bench when they were when the Twins are fully healthy, but he's playing every day. Let's get the mascot going. Willie Castro. You know, last year's mascot forgot how many outs there were in a game. This week, yeah, Willie Castro is on the struggle bus. So we need to correct this shortly.
Just came back from the IL. Give him a little while here. Let us see what's up. But yes, I fully agree as well. All right, let's head to the AL West. The Sacramento Athletics coming in this week with six games, three at the Dodgers, three at the Giants. So out of Sacramento. If you are worried about playing guys this week and you can still make moves, be careful because it's going to be hot as heck in Sacramento if you can still play with your pitchers there. But to next week, all on the road, six righties. What do you like with the Athletics?
Like, is it going to be like 100 already in Sacramento?
It was 93 here today, so I'm guessing it's going to be mid to high 90s there. Friday and Saturday is supposed to be hotter. So I'll check while you talk if you want to tell me what you're interested in.
I'm not really interested in much because it is a tough, I mean, we look at this 18% strikeout minus walk that we're showing on the planner. That's pretty deep red, and it's all away games. So again, it's at LA, at San Francisco. So it's not the best streaming week. The Athletics don't really have that many streamers. I mean, the one name I'll call out is Luis Urias. We talked about him on Tuesday. He'll get some more run because Zach Geloff's rehab, I guess, has been delayed, but outside of that, man, Nick Kurtz needs to get going here. ton of strikeouts. I don't think his one barrel does not have a barrel yet. So, I don't know. Not super worried yet, but you would like to see someone you spent 300 plus, not you, but people, spent multiple hundreds of dollars on. You'd like to see something out of that at some point.
Question for you, and I'm full on the Urias train, added him a lot of places last week for his flexibility and middle infield depth more than anything. Are you going after your boy Miguel Andujar, who's hitting over 386 with a home run and a steal over his last, you know, 12 games or so?
Not this week. Not this week.
Checking.
He's hitting cleanup. I mean, he might play, but it's just a tough. It's a tough. Yeah, cleanup. That's a good point, but it's just a tough. It's a tough schedule, and it's all road. I don't know.
So to the weatherman report, it's going to be supposed to be, according to AccuWeather, 92 on Friday, 93 on Saturday. It's just funny because it says real feel 96 on Saturday. So I've got that going for you too. It's just a weird system coming through because it's same here, but it's dropping down to mid 70s on Sunday and then mid-60s with chances of rain on Monday. So it's just a quick little heat wave.
You've obviously been to that park a ton, but I watched because the Mariners played there this week. And, like, dude, people are just baking in that outfield, like, grass. I'm like, oh, my God.
The beers just, like, flow right into you and sweat out at the same time. It's pretty electric. I grew up in that weather. Like, that's just what I'm used to. It's a dry, like, 100-plus almost every day in the summer. And you just learn to accept it, essentially. Yeah, it's a rough one. It's kind of humid. I can't do humidity. I'll take the dry heat all day, but you get used to it. All right, enough of me sweating. Houston Astros, 7 games this week, 3 at home versus Kansas City, 4 at the Texas Rangers, 1 lefty, 6 righties. Where are you standing on Houston here, who should get Yordan back towards the end of next week?
Yeah. So the Yordan thing isn't extended, so that's nice. I'm still gonna stake my claim for my boy Jake Myers, who's criminally under rostered, I think.
What's his rate?
Is he at 54%?
Okay,
in 12 teamers. Jake Myers is hitting .297, 7 bags, 2 homers, playing every day. Good skills, good K rate, some hard contact. Running 7 game week, like I really like that. I still don't know what to do with your boy Zach DeCenzo.
I'm gonna stake my claim for Zach DeCenzo, who's criminally under rostered at 10% right now in 12. That's where I was going.
But is he though? If he doesn't, I mean, if he plays, if he gets benched a couple times every week, like that's tough to play him.
Let me see something. Give me a second here. Let me pull out that page again.
Especially when Yordan comes back. It's beyond next week, but
I'd be more worried if I'm rostering Cam Smith right about now. He's playing even less than Zach DeCenzo. I think Cam Smith becomes the odd man out in this scenario at this point in time. DeCenzo is proving he deserves the stick. Like, he's got hits in 3 of his last 4, 4 of his last 6. 6 of his last 8. Like, dude, the dude's hit.
Yeah.
Once he gets some regular at bats. So I'm going to keep planting that flag with Mr. DeCenzo. The fact he's only 10% makes me laugh quite a bit.
Well, because he gets benched, dude. That's why. No. But I get your point. You're saying that DeCenzo can actually hit, and therefore the playing time will be there on a regular basis.
It should stick.
I got you.
Like, Myers has the defense and can run and hits for a decent average. DeCenzo hits better than Brendan Rodgers, Cam Smith.
Whoa. Murderers Row.
But I'm saying they're in the lineup too. So, like, he should be playing over them, is my point.
So. Yeah. No, I got you. I'm not gonna debate you on that one. I've got DeCenzo in a couple of leagues, but I don't think I've started him because he's got to play every
day. He's playing. Angels, 3 at San Diego, 3 at the Dodgers this week for 6 games. 1 lefty, 5 righties. Taylor Ward might be heating up, folks. Another home run tonight. So let's hope that's a sign of things to come. What else are you looking at here? You're looking at the good, Uncle Ted's guy or no?
Who's Uncle Ted's guy? Gustavo? He's
injured for 2 games, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, Uncle Ted. I'm not doing that. I don't have really anything here. Like, Yoan Moncada returned from the IL this week. Hit a home run
and immediately gets back into the lineup to start at third base.
Right. Like, do not Yoan Moncada. I got pretty much nothing here. It was nice to see Kenley rebound a little bit. Had that brutal, no out, 5 earned, I think, appearance last weekend. Got a save on Saturday. So I think he'll be okay, but I don't know. I don't have much on the Angels. It's going to be a long, long season.
The one thing I'll say is Kyren Paris, who has been super, super, annoying to roster at the moment. He did go deep this past week, but he's become the starting center fielder for the Angels. So I think they cherish his defense a lot more than Joe Adell's, and they see the skill set and want to keep running him out there. That's why I've been still holding where I can right now. Just my point is they're running him out there, and it might be worth stashing.
I did not realize that with Joe Adell, who I had in a bunch of 15s and
I dropped him a lot last week.
Yeah, I dropped him last week. I saw he had 2 homers and I think 1 steal, but was still playing regularly. So I was like, do I drop him? And wow, Joe Adell has started twice in the last week. I did not know that instantly dried up. Interesting.
Yep, Gonzo. All right, Seattle Mariners, six games this week, three versus the Yankees, three at the Padres, two lefties, four righties. What do you like in Seattle?
I like their offense, man. It'll be a fun week to watch them. Like Yankees coming to town and then going to the Padres. Always love games in San Diego. My guy is back. Dylan Moore is off the IL. Activate. And Seattle, please just play the man. Like, come on. Dylan Moore has started his first two games back off the IL, one against a righty, one against a lefty. So, yeah, second base, right field. I think Dylan Moore will continue to play, should play every day. I think Leody Taveras is an interesting one. Picked up from Texas, started right field today. I think the Mariners have no other option right now in the outfield. Other than to play Leody Taveras. And I don't think Leody Taveras is, you know, has the highest ceiling or anything like that. But like, I think he could not kill you in batting average and get you a ton of steals. So Leody Taveras, I think is addable this week because I think the playing time is going to be there.
Completely agree. I think they're going to play him because they need to, like you said, he already stole a bag in the A series.
Yep.
Which is good. So yeah, I see him getting a lot of run and definitely like a cheap outfield target if necessary type thing. So no argument from this side of the peanut gallery.
What about your guy Rowdy back from the dead? I left him for dead.
He's swinging it again, man. He's swinging it again.
Tough ad for this week because it's four righties only.
Yeah.
You've got to be a really good platoon bat. I think for me, you got to be like a Pavin Smith type level or Jock Peterson when Jock Peterson's good type level to go. A four righty week, but just noting Rowdy Roddy.
Yeah, it'd be a different week because like the first half of the week it's two lefties and one righty, and the second half of the week it's three righties, but it's Colek, but then Pivetta and King. I'm probably just gonna hold off on targeting most Mariners bats this week.
Fair.
All right, Texas Rangers round out the American League for us here. Seven games this week, all at home. Three versus Colorado, three versus Houston. One lefty, six righties for the Texas Rangers. It's still just a team that kind of sucks, but Evan Carter is available, I guess, if people are interested.
That's the name I was going to bring up is Evan Carter. We talked about him on Tuesday as well. If you want some Evan Carter hype, you're not going to get it from me. So I do think Evan Carter will be bid upon. I don't want to say aggressively, but like that, I think you will need to spend a little bit if you want to get Evan Carter. And I'm not going to do it until I can kind of be confident he plays against lefties and stops like walking so much. The plate patience is great in real life, but not so much in 5x5 fantasy. So, but worth noting, Evan Carter is back. And if you like him, and a lot of smart people do for sure, you may want to bid on him if you like him.
Yep, I concur as well. Jake Berger update through two games at AAA, 3-for-8 with three singles. So we've got that going for us.
Okay. He's only played two games when he gets sent down.
I'm guessing he got the whole, hey, you got to report X amount of days thing. That happens to a lot of guys.
Did they make him walk report from?
Nah, veteran guys get time because with family and stuff to kind of figure out what the heck's going on.
I guess that does make sense. I didn't know that, though.
I think it's more because it's like out of respect. Like we know you probably should be up here, but we're doing this. So like here's a few days to figure it out type deal.
Yeah.
All right. To the National League East, the Atlanta Braves, seven games this week, four versus Washington, three at the Boston Red Sox, two lefties, five righties. It's a team that should be widely rostered outside of maybe your boy White.
Yeah. Eli White, who I think is already starting to cool back down as predicted. Yes, so I don't have, I think,
a little more gray here. A little more gray right now.
A little more gray than white, I guess. I guess Alex Verdugo, I don't, is he, he's 27%
roster. 27, that's not bad.
You're leading off, and the other thing is it's five righties, but it's also the schedule's like really good. Like it's Jake Irvin, Soroka, did pitch well as, I think, first start back from the IL, Mitchell Parker. Williams. Oh, that's Washington's Williams. Crochet is good, but then Giolito Houck. I don't know. That's a pretty streamable schedule. So if you need outfield help, I think Alex Verdugo leading off against righties. Hell, even leading off against lefties.
Yep, he leads off every game pretty much.
Jesus, I didn't know that.
Yep, they don't. He's locked into 15s. He's starting to show some 12 appeal on weeks like this, I'd say.
Yeah, this is a very straight up team. There is no platooning here now.
Not at all with Atlanta. Very, very, here it is, enjoy type situation with these guys. One thing I want to ask you, because we will not discuss in the two-step situation, how excited are you about A.J. Smith-Shawver? He's 82% rostered, but he should be available for some. And the other one I want to ask you about is a 2% Bryce Elder. Because, yes, as bad as Bryce Elder appears on paper, Bryce Elder has looked pretty dang good. Three earned runs or less than three straight starts, with 12 strikeouts over the 16 innings pitched. He still has, you know, seven walks, which isn't great, but we're seeing improvements. Dodgers at Colorado and St. Louis; those are not easy matchups.
Right. So as you bring those guys up, I'm just going to flash another tool that we have available to Patreon subs, and in this same weekly planner, starting pitcher planner. It shows the next 2 weeks of matchups, but also the year-to-date skills for every starting pitcher. I'm looking at a 7% K-minus walk for Bryce Elder. That's terrible. Does not miss bats. 7% swinging strike. That is deep red. That's terrible. Maybe streamable for Pittsburgh, but I don't think even against Washington. So I don't like Bryce Elder. A.J. Smith-Shawver is a little bit more interesting, right? Because it is, well, May 10th, that's this week. So that's the second half of Smith-Shawver's two-step. But he's at least missing bats. You like to see that. Would like to see a little bit better control. But I don't know. I think I'm like mildly interested in Smith-Shawver and not at all in Bryce Elder.
All right, must be a Northwest thing here. Bryce Elder sucks, according to Scott Burks. I agree. He's frustrating, but I just wanted to point out he's been pretty dang good the last few starts. The walks is a massive concern. I would always agree with that. Miami Marlins, they have six games coming up this week. Three at the Cubbies, three at homers, Tampa Bay, all right-handed pitching. Are we back aboard the Jesus Sanchez wagon?
Yeah, we're back. We're back. We had a little... The wagon started to fall apart there with some, was it back spasms for Jesus Sanchez entering the week, but we're back there in a six game ready week. That is absolutely the time to deploy Jesus Sanchez. I don't even know if I'll go there with Matt Mervis. Like, the power binge was nice, but the strikeouts not so much. So I don't know about Matt Mervis. One name I want to throw out there to you, I'll throw this back to you, Bubba, is Dane Meyers is playing every day center field for the Marlins and playing quite well, only rostered in 11% of NFBC 12 teamers. So I think he's interesting in Fab. Do you have a read on Dane Meyers?
Yeah, I like him a lot. This is where playing DFS every day, even if it's just a couple lineups, it's made me pay attention to Dane Meyers, I would say. Because you mentioned, like, he's 342 average on the season, three homers, six steals. He's doing a little bit of everything, playing every day, most importantly, as you mentioned. Pretty decent schedule this week. It doesn't matter if it's lefty or righty, but just overall matchups are good. And if you just shrink down the hot streak he's on here, last nine games, Meyers hitting 444 with two homers and four steals and nine runs scored. He is locked in, one might say. So I love that Dane Meyers call. I think that's a good one. It's a guy that, he's an older 29, but I remember, I think it was last year, people were pretty pumped for him to get called up. Maybe it's 2023, but never really got the full run, and he looks like he should get it for a while, at least if not the rest of the season.
Right. I mean, that's the drawback. It's a 29-year-old pretty much journeyman who has like 200 career plate appearance, maybe 250 career plate appearances in the majors. But I mean, if we're talking streaming and kind of picking up guys while they're hot, green light's there, the hard contact's been there, and the playing time is there for now. So yeah, I like Dane Meyers.
Like that call quite a bit. New York Mets, six games this week, three at home versus Pittsburgh, three at the New York Yankees, three lefties, three righties. I am moving on.
From the Mets?
Yes.
I am too.
I was about to say, what do you have for me here? Surprise me.
No, I'm not gonna. Not even gonna try to do that. I'm not gonna.
You want Brett Beatty? Brett Beatty got called up. You want Brett Beatty? Is that where we're going with this?
I think I'd rather have Jeff McNeil right now.
Oh God.
I mean, Jeff McNeil's playing.
He'll play more. Yeah, he'll play more. That's fair.
My guy, Tyrone Taylor. I don't know, man. No, I got nothing.
TT. All right, Phillies. They have six games this week. Three at home versus St. Louis. Three at home versus Pittsburgh. Two lefties, four righties. Another team that pretty much plays the same guys.
Like, totally does play this the same guys. So, Brandon Marsh is back from the IL. It's a, two lefty, four righty week. So, I don't know if you start Brandon Marsh this week. Maybe you try and look for other alternatives. Ditto, Max Kepler. Kepler's been pretty good, so we roll with him this week. But outside of that, yeah, there's not much movement on the Philly roster. I feel like there never really is. Sounds like Christopher Sanchez is at least for now in the clear. Has looked pretty good his last couple starts from the no MRI forearm tightness debacle of a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he's looking good for now. I'm still not feeling great about that, but it feels like he might be the lefty version of Brian Wu right now. Is what it's starting to feel like.
And, that's a good comp. Jeez.
Yeah, young with the same garbage, but still now goes back out there and keeps throwing. So you just buckle up and see how it goes. That's what it comes down to, and hope, just pray, hope on that one. All right, Washington Nationals. They have seven games this week, all on the road. Four at Atlanta, three at Baltimore. One lefty, six righties, really good matchups, all things considered. It's just a matter of, do you want to take Jose Tena? Do you want to take Josh Bell, who just came back? I'm not really reaching to get any of these guys for the Nats that are probably available. Most of the guys I like are already rostered.
Agreed. And that's why it's kind of, because this is my favorite schedule, I think, of the week. It's the seven gamer, but it's also after Schwellenbach. It's kind of a whole lot of nothing. So really good week to start any Nats that you have, like on a start sit type decision. That's with the seven games, especially any Nats lefties, really good for them. Josh Bell is one like he's hitting 134. That not great, but it's a 22% strikeout rate. Like the strikeouts, the plate skills have been fine. The hard contacts there, five home runs, 8% barrel rate. So I think you could stream. If you need a corner spot, I think you could stream Josh Bell. I think he's going to play enough, and I assume he's healthy since he DH'd on Tuesday.
Yeah, he's going to play every day. So deeper leagues, he's definitely locked in. 12's a little trickier, but I'm not going to disagree with you based on the matchups for sure. Like, I get it. He even started showcasing some power before the back went out, but still hit for like a .180 average. Like, it's weird with him right now. Really weird with him. In El Central, Chicago Cubs, six games this week, three at home against Miami, three at home versus the White Sox, one lefty, five righties. If you want to know how bad the White Sox rotation is, the three matchups of Smith, Burke, and Cannon, 8.1% K to 1. Holy crap. That's bad. But not a whole lot to get too excited for here on the waiver wire when it comes to Cubs.
No, I mean, maybe Michael Bush, but I feel like Bush is, yeah, he's 100% rostered, 80% started, so never mind. There's nothing that I see.
It's Cade Horton. And then my friend, I have to ask.
I know what's coming.
Porter Jeez. Hodge, anybody? Porter Hodge, can I get you a dark porter out of the fridge, Ryan?
I might need one if I watch Ryan Pressly pitch again. Good hell. So bad I let off the show on Tuesday with thoughts and prayers to anyone who had Ryan Pressly. Like, I haven't heard anything. Like, I assume Presley's still the guy, but like, oh, you can't, I mean, you can't do that. So I do think it's probably past time to spec on Porter Hodge. I don't even I drafted Presley once and it's in Tout Wars and we're in the same league together. So now, you know, you've attached me to Ryan Pressly, maybe because we have the same name too, but I do think it is time to move on from Ryan Pressly. Something does not look right.
It does not. And the only thing that's going to keep him in there is because council wants to trust his veterans, but that right. shouldn't last too much longer. That's what that comes down to.
I mean, the council has stood by him so far, Pressly.
Yes. And the only thing is, if I'm Pressly, I do like what I do with go to bed and wake up and go to work till the boss tells me not to. So we'll see how that one pans out for Pressly as well.
Kind of like Miles Michaelis.
Yes. Yes. The union worker, Miles Michaelis, at his finest. All right, on that note, the Cincinnati Reds, six games this week, all at Great American Small Park. And you liked that.
Look at the matchups. Yeah, so yeah.
Like, this might be better, my friend.
This might be better.
Oh. No lefties, six righties, a combined 8.4% K to walk for the whole week You get Cannon, Martin, Wilson, Bybee, Ortiz, Lively. Like, holy crap, Ryan. I'm even interested in Jake Fraley this week if you want.
I'm always interested in Jake Fraley.
I know, but if I'm saying I am, is my point. That's the Espinal's in play right now.
Given this crew going against the Reds all at home, like, yeah, I guess Espinal is in play. This is brutal. Jake Fraley freaking burned me this week, though. I started Monday, but then has not played since then. So that's
what I was saying. Re-signs the guy to grab here because he's played both games in right field where Fraley usually plays versus righties.
Yeah, depending on what news we hear about Fraley. It sounds like if it's not Fraley, it's Rhys Hines. So if Fraley hits the IL or whatever, I could see rolling with Rhys Hines. We have seen before what Rhys Hines can do in small stints, both good and bad.
In small park as well.
Same place. In small park. So, definitely Jake Fraley if healthy, if not Rhys Hines. I don't know what else though. Espinal, if you're desperate, but everyone else is rostered, I believe.
Yeah, Espinal, man, dude, like we're making fun of him, and rightfully so. When he's hitting .316, no homers, no steals, nothing at 9% K rate, but his average is there. He's scored, driven in 9, scored 8 runs. Like, if he plays every day next week, he probably scores 4 runs, drives in 3, and hits over 300. Like, that's good for a week stream. You want
my
more,
guy? My guy has had one season in his career with a barrel rate over 2.5%.
The next Billy Hamilton, come on down. Because he doesn't run like Billy.
He doesn't run.
Yeah.
So
yeah. All right. Enough said. Roster your Reds wherever you physically can.
Yeah, Dr. Doom says Friedel ? Like, I mean, full on. Start Friedel wherever you can. Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Milwaukee Brewers, 6 games this week, 3 at Cleveland, 3 at home versus Minnesota. We have 1 lefty, 5 righties for Minnesota. Are we for Milwaukee? Sorry. What are you liking with these boys?
I don't know. Not much.
No.
I mean, they play the same guys every day, and the good ones are rostered. The bad ones, like your Isaac Collins.
I was going to mention him. Like, is he at least a deeper league option? Because if we look, once he started playing every day on the 25th, he's played 5, 8. His last 11 games, he's hitting .310 with a homer, a steal, 19% walk rate, 24% K rate, 10% barrel, only a 25% hard hit. But been productive, at least for a deeper format, I'd say.
Yeah, I don't know. 27-year-old journeyman. Not much prospect pedigree at all. Like, no, I'm not doing Isaac Collins.
All righty. More from me.
I guess.
I'm just going to try to find some positive out of this. I'm just kidding. All right.
What's Durbin been up to?
Not much. It's been
yeah, I feel rough. Like he's been quiet. I did get him in a league or two, but I have not. Oh. Yeah, hitting .224, but only a 6% K rate. That's nice. Hasn't hit a barrel yet. 1-for-1 stolen base wise. That's a slow start for Caleb Durbin.
But the fact he's not striking out, I think that's going to keep him a lot longer than say your Joey Ortiz's and others of the world. He should get some run. And I know we can't trust these teams, but they did flat out say when they called him up, he's our third baseman for the future. Like I think they want to see what he has type thing. So at least that's what I'm trying to tell myself. Cause I have a lot of shares. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
All right, Pittsburgh Pirates, they have 6 games this week, 3 at the Mets, 3 at the Phillies, 3 lefties, 3 righties, out.
Out, because it's a tough schedule, too. It's split, so there's not much platoon to take advantage of. Andrew McCutchen has crapped the bed since I said he was half decent last week, so I'm out. I got nothing here other than, well, we don't know if David Bednar has totally reclaimed the closer role because the Pirates don't get save opportunity.
We haven't had a chance, unfortunately, since Dennis Santana returned.
Yeah.
You gotta love bad teams. St. Louis Cardinals, 3 games at Philly, 3 games at the Royals, red hot Royals. 3 lefties, 3 righties, and so I'm pretty much out on this one as well.
I am too. You can't. Yeah, I don't see anybody worth going here for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Just going to mention the starting shortstop for the Cardinals is starting to hit. Just going to throw that one out there real quick. But
Jesus,
we'll Mason move on Lynn. To the NL. I was just starting shortstop. Just almost there.
Well, yeah, we're up to 267. Mm-hmm. Three homers, two bags,
which is two more homers than Bo Bichette.
Yeah, which is at least 28 stolen bases fewer than Mason Lynn said he wanted to steal. This offseason,
five more months. It's like 5.5 steals a month, and we're back, baby.
Yeah, sure. random observation, not fab worthy, but Matthew on the rotation side, dude, yes. Liberatore continues to be a beast, and I was worried as hell about Sonny Gray entering the season. Ooh. Because he was bad, and this spring velocity was down, arm issues. Sonny Gray has looked awfully good this year, so. I know I just jinxed him again, but whatever. He's looked good.
Yes, he's looked very, very good. All right, to the NL West, the Arizona Diamondbacks, 3 at the Giants, 3 at home versus Colorado, 1 lefty, 5 righties on tap for you. Get all the pavement, Smith, you can. Just keep doing that whenever you see a heavy righty week. Anything else for you with the D-backs?
Well, because it's a really good righty schedule, too. Because right on average, it's a 9.7 strikeout minus walk for the pitchers facing the Diamondbacks, and that includes the lone lefty,
Robbie Ray.
So the righties are just terrible going against the Diamondbacks. So definitely Pavin Smith. I'd argue even perhaps some Alec Thomas, who was playing against righties, but. That's pretty much it. Is Geraldo Perdomo widely rostered? He's
pretty
point?
Much rostered everywhere.
Yeah, he is. Okay. So we got that. Do we have any? What? Ginkle got the save tonight, on Thursday night, correct?
He held on. He gave up a run, but got the save.
And Shelby Miller did not pitch. And Shelby Miller also did not pitch Wednesday either. So I don't know if Kevin Ginkle is the guy. Shelby Miller kind of blew his chance at it on Sunday. But, if you're desperate for saves, Kevin Ginkle got one and thus by default becomes probably one of the top potential closer ads this weekend. I'm not saying that to go for the gusto there, but Ginkle's one to have on your list.
Speaking of gusto, he should be joining the Astros rotation soon. We passed that up, but keep that in mind.
Oh, yeah.
I want to mention something on Alec Thomas, who you said might be worth a look this week. You poo-pooed Isaac Collins. Over the last 11 games for Alec Thomas, he's hitting .333 to Isaac's .311. Thomas has 0 homers and 0 steals to Isaac's 1-1, and only 3 runs and 3 RBIs. Just wanted to bring that up. If we're gonna,
Thomas has 3 steals this year
over the last 11 games.
Well, get out of here with this arbitrary.
It's what I compared. I compared Isaac's to 11 games. I was doing the same sample. And explaining that, current status of hitting coming in. Yes,
I don't think the listeners wanted Alec Thomas, Isaac Collins debate. But
they showed up for the Fab preview. They left with a debate of two players that won't be playing in July.
If you're an hour and 3 minutes into the Fab Week 8 Fab preview with us, maybe you are interested in that type of thing. I don't know, dude. Place. Alec Thomas is at least hits the ball hard. 9% barrel rate, doesn't have a homer yet, but. Has what is that? 7 barrels, no home runs. It's probably on a blue board.
I guess they call that unlucky.
Hard contact's been there. K's are good, 20% K rate, doesn't swing and miss much. I think Alec Thomas this week is.
I like Alec Thomas. I just had to fight back on the fact he just completely threw Isaac Collins at the side. That's all. I was just having fun with it. We'll move on. Sorry. Colorado Rockies, they have 6 games this week, 3 at Texas, 3 at Arizona, 1 lefty, 5 righties. It's all on the road, so I pretty much want nothing to do with even Toglia in this situation.
Agreed. I can't think of any Rocky I would want on the road. This team is just an absolute train wreck. Yeah, absolute train wreck.
So bad. So bad and so
Agnes,
great.
Our guy Agnes took the L on Wednesday.
The loss. I almost messaged you, but we were both kind of busy last night. I was like,
did he get a strikeout? What are we doing? What's the Zach Agnes strikeout count?
Does the strikeouts match the curls 3 in his stash yet? Oh, he's past it. There we go.
3. He's got 2 curls on his stash, 3 Ks.
Moving on up. Dodgers, 6 games this week, 3 at home versus the A's, 3 at home versus the Angels. three lefties, three righties, and they pretty much are widely rostered unless you want James Outman, baby.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let me make the case. Make the case for Mr. Outman, because we had a little debate there.
Well, for me, it's more like he hit the home run the other day. He's first few games, he's looked rather lost. I'm not going to try to profess he's been amazing, but I just want to just tap into his minor league numbers, hitting .254, but 8 homers, 5 steals. He's driving in a ton of runs, and yes, AAA is a different beast. There's no sugarcoating that, but a little plug here is let's check out the minor league leaderboard for Outman. I'm actually curious. I haven't even got to look at it yet, but I want to see what Mr. Outman has in store for us. There we go. James Outman has a 15% barrel rate. Yeah, 36% K rate. We just went right past that, right? Don't worry about it. 17% swinging strikes.
That's the one. Year. That's the one cell in the minor league leaderboard that's in bold is the K rate.
Yeah, it's bad. But a 15% barrel rate, a 107 EV90. Like, these are good things. He runs a ton. But yes, the swing and miss is bad, and it's carried over to a 55% K rate in his first 9 at bats. So yes.
I think this week, I don't know if Outman plays against lefties either. So the Dodgers only get 3 righties. So I don't think we're doing that. What do you think about? It's Ha-Seong Kim.
Ha-Seong Kim, yes.
Will he play against lefties? I don't know if we know that yet.
We don't know that yet, but again, I don't trust Dave Roberts as far as I can throw that little man. But he after when
is he that little? When, I guess he is.
He's tiny. He's very tiny.
A little fella.
On Wednesday, after the game, he was raving about what he's seen, what he likes. And I watched a lot of that game. And Kim looks good out there. He puts the bat on the ball very, very well, which we expected. Things we thought we'd see with him. He's played in 4 straight games between second base and the outfield. They basically said when Edmund returns, they want to keep Kim in the lineup again. Believe when you see type stuff.
Yeah.
But it's enough to keep me interested. He's 17% rostered in 12s. Like, he'd be one of my priorities this week. I just don't want to break the bank, because what needs to happen is Michael Conforto needs to go to the bench. What I think might happen if they want to keep Kim, Outman goes back to AAA next week.
That could happen. Yeah, that could definitely
happen.
That's
what I see happening. That's where I'm kind of nervous with the Outman thing. Is we won't know until Tuesday, I think.
Yeah.
When the Dodgers play their first game. So if you get crazy on your Outman bidding this week and then he gets sent to AAA on Tuesday, just you've been warned. It's probably a 50-50 chance that happens. So throw it out there.
Back to Kim too. Just keep an eye on whether he starts on Friday against Erod, a lefty. That could be a nice tell to see if Kim is worth fabbing this weekend.
Yep, good call there. Yeah, Dr. Doom says Edmund took BP today. Yeah, no, they said he'll be back Tuesday. They're slow playing. He was eligible to come back this week, and they wanted to wait till they came home on Tuesday. All right, San Diego Padres, 6 games.
Sorry, my bad. Clayton Kershaw is close to coming back. So before that's we move nice. On from the Dodgers. Dude, I mean, yeah.
I guess if you want wins, it's a category.
Yeah. I mean, we I do want it. Wins.
It's going to be not a whole lot of hell of a lot else, but I guess the Angels first. That's a great start, honestly.
And compared to other starting pitchers out there, dude, I think Kershaw is certainly addable.
It's going to be a lot of five and dives is my concern.
Which is fine. It's fine.
Now, what I want to see is I'm curious about, because Ben Kasperius has been very, very good as they stretched him out. Like, they made a point to keep stretching him out. Landon Knack gets the spot start on Wednesday. Now they have Landon Knack in the rotation on RotoWire. I wouldn't be I still think Kasperius sticks in the rotation, but that's where Kershaw's jumping in. That's where Kasperius' spot was. Maybe they piggyback. I don't know, but I don't see how they move Kasperius back to the bullpen. Well, just, pay attention to it, but I think he's better than Landon Knack right now, personally. So I think that's an interesting move on their part if that move is made.
Yeah.
Just we'll want to throw that out. To your Kershaw point, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I will be fair about that. It's just the ceiling is not there.
And my guy might be throwing 84, 85.
Like I would like, he's still like, making me look foolish, but I'd like to sit in the box against him right now. I think I'd have a much better chance than ever in my life against him. The curveball still probably the most wicked thing on the planet, but yeah.
I think you'd look quite foolish, as would I.
I already do. I already do. But might as well do it. Fair. Basically, Clayton Kershaw, like, you know, people would laugh. So
I would.
That's what I'm here for, to make people laugh. Two more teams here, San Diego Padres. They have three at home versus the Angels, three at home versus Seattle this week. One lefty, five righties, a Padres team that doesn't allow much flexibility.
Great, great matchups. Five righties, 8% K-minus walk. You know what that means, Bubba, for San Diego? Take those sheets, put them in the washer, there some detergent go. On there, clean, throw them in the dryer. Back on the bed, clean those sheets. Gavin Sheets, great week to stream, Mr. Gavin Sheets.
If you're in daily leagues, just throwing this one out there, they get three righties in Coors Field this weekend. So go Ooh. Get you.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, because we talked about it in our Discord, but then we also talked about it on the show last week. We talked if you could get Sheets for just the second half of the week, this was a good week to get him for three in Coors against an absolute garbage Rockies team and pitching staff.
Senzatella, Hank Blaylock, and Herman Marquez this weekend against the Padres. So, yeah, easy schedule this weekend for the Padres, easy schedule next week, and a ton of righties. So yeah, Gavin Sheets.
All right, after we clean those sheets, we go to San Francisco, where we have six games this week, three at home versus Arizona, three at home versus the A's, three lefties, three righties. Not a whole lot here. People are going to want to say Camilo Duvall, which I get it. You should stash him if you'd want. He's a good reliever, but Ryan Walker came out the very next day, threw a clean ninth, got the save. Like I keep saying, every time anybody asks me anywhere, he has to really lose the job. Like it's like even the game in Chicago where he got yanked, the bullpen or the defense made like two mistakes behind him. It didn't help him at all. He hasn't looked as dominant as last year, but it's still Walker's job. So I'll just beat that one before we talk about it. It's Walker's job. If you want to add Duvall, knock yourself out, but it's still Walker's gig. Anything else with the Giants?
Yeah, no, you've been steadfast on that front pretty much throughout. So I don't have much else other than like you probably don't want to start Yastrzemski in a weekly league just because it is a 3-3 split. So and you never want to start Lamont Wade no matter what. But 3-3 split, it's tough to start those platoon guys.
The only other thing I will mention is, you know, we talk Birdsong a lot. Kyle Harrison looked filthy in his one inning against the Cubs. I added him in at least one, if not two 15s last week, just as depth. He's another one of those like Fernando Cruz types or these other relievers that might get you a couple innings here and there. He's going to have some nasty strikeout stuff in short stints. He's throwing 98 and it's nasty. So just keep an eye on Kyle Harrison if you like you're really desperate for a pitcher somewhere, I guess. Okay. All righty. Done with the 30 teams in 30 days. Any final thoughts before we talk top free agent risers and fallers?
Let's do it.
All right, your boys at top, up at the top there. Go get them.
So top risers, we'll start with just the top five. Daniel Schneeman is kind of by far the top riser. I mean, good skills. Again, we're looking at the top free agent riser tab on this weekly planner that's available for Patreon subs. Good power, running a touch, but I just don't see this lasting for Schneeman. Dane Myers is number two. We both are aboard the Dane Myers train for as long as he is playing and running, which a 32% stolen base attempt rate is really good. That's a total green light for Dane Myers in Miami. Javi Baez is number three. Trey Sweeney, so a pair of Tigers there that you can add shortstop help. Javi Baez must get outfield eligibility.
Yes, he does.
Pretty soon. So,
yep.
If not already. And then Evan Carter is number four, which I've made my Evan Carter comments known. So Evan Carter is number four, 70% rostered in Fantrax, but plus 4% this week.
Yeah, O'Hearn keeps getting the love he deserves. I guess we should probably talk a little bit about Max Kepler, if that checks out, because his skills on this sheet look pretty good.
Yep.
He is hitting .246 on the season with five home runs. So that'll play as well. He's hit safely in five of his last seven with two home runs in that stint as well. So If we're talking deeper and deeper leagues, he's in play. He's rostered in 98% of 12, so maybe that's why we're not talking about him. I am shocked by that number, to tell you the truth. That's
higher than I thought. Wow.
Yeah, I guess I should have just kept moving on because I thought he'd be much lower than that. But definitely a guy that I don't hear much discussion of. Doesn't mean no one talks about him, but I just don't hear about it in my little bubble. Good matchups this week if you're looking for a deeper play and available.
I love the this is the beauty of small samples, but James Outman, 7 plate appearances. As every garbage. Single plate appearance has either been a strikeout or a barrel. He struck out in 4 of his 7, and then it has 100% barrel rate. So every ball he's hit has been barreled.
Hang him, bang him. That's what that comes down
Here's
to.
Here's your guy. Here's Collins.
Yep, right there. 22%. 22% stolen base attempt rate.
Yep, he is running. And actually the power I don't know.
Yeah, just stop. You're trying to be nice now.
Yeah. Is there anyone on here we did not talk? Colt Keith is
He's streaking right now.
And it's a righty heavy week for the Tigers. Yeah. So Colt Keith is an option.
Definitely a guy. He's currently 41% rostered in 12. So yeah, Colt Keith should be on the radar for some, I believe. Yeah, just second base right now. I thought he'd have first base, but maybe not. But yeah, Colt Keith, definitely a guy to have in mind. I like that's a good shout there. All right, let's go to the pitcher side of things where I think we hit on most of these. We didn't hit on the hog.
Yeah, we didn't hit it on the hog, man. Damn.
The hog has been throwing 2 pretty good starts out there, all things considered. And this upcoming week, the hog, they have JT Ginn coming back and taking a spot in the rotation.
Huh.
That's not cool. Yeah, that's not cool if that's the case. Something to monitor, folks. Something to monitor.
Yeah, Fangraphs is the same way. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I like JT. I think I mentioned it somewhere. In a perfect world, either, Hog goes to the pen for now, or they just get Beto stepping.
Yeah.
Like, you got these 2 young guys. Let's see what they got. The A's are actually playing good ball. Don't be stupid right now. Bryce Elder's right there getting picked up by everybody, surprisingly.
Yeah, there he is. Red skills, so that's good. We did not talk about Mike Soroka. He's the second highest riser for on the Nationals, just came off the IL. Hard to read into 10 innings, but has pitched well in a couple of appearances. And Soroka would line up for the Braves, at Baltimore, next 2 starts.
That's no for me, dog.
That's tough. So I don't know. Maybe a pickup and hold if you can afford to stash Mike Soroka, but probably just a streamer at heart.
Yep, I'd wait there. Otherwise, like we talked about, if Landon Knack sticks in the rotation, might be someone worth monitoring. I still like Asparius more, so something to watch in that scenario. Ben Brown looked really good against the Giants. He should be pretty much rostered most places. Yep. Your boy Fernando Cruz right there, and those skills look awesome. Jumping off the page.
39% K rate and a 2-flat Sierra, which is like almost unheard of. So that's elite skills from Fernando Cruz. There's the cannon. Jonathan Cannon bombs away.
Yeah, shoot it off.
Yeah.
I don't have a whole lot else on the names coming down here. It's a lot of specs. Like Jose Urena got picked up for some bizarre reason. Tyler Anderson's still down here. People are still holding out hope on that situation.
Yep. I think this is one of those weeks where you're probably saving some fab. Yes. And there's a few decent streaming options, I think, enough where you can kind of do conditionals and hopefully get a couple for cheap. But this does not seem, again, things can change Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But as we read the week right now, this looks like a pretty tame week of fab, which is fine. There are weeks where you need to chill out on the spending.
Yep, there are good weeks to catch up on your fab, basically, is what it comes down to. So nothing wrong with that. Let's see what there's wrong when it comes to 2-step pitchers this week, Ryan. Diamondbacks, Merrill Kelly at the Giants versus Colorado.
Yes.
The A's, Jeffrey Springs at the Dodgers at the Giants.
No.
Atlanta, Grant Holmes and Schwelly versus Washington at Boston.
Schmellenbach, of course. Even Grant Holmes, I'm rolling with the two step in 15s. I don't know about 12s, but
I'm still rolling with it in a 12. But it's not the warm and fuzzies we want. This is where things suck at times. Everyone wanted to roster Cade Povich this last week for two awesome lefty matchups. Then Eflin comes back on Sunday, so Povich doesn't get that Sunday matchup. So now he has a two step next week against Minnesota and Washington, which is Minnesota sucks versus lefties, but Washington I don't think is that bad. I could be wrong, but I don't think they're that bad.
They're 89 WRC plus, so below average against lefties. Minnesota's an 80, pretty bad against lefties, but right, that doesn't account for Willie Castro's back, Correa's back, Bryce Lewis is back. So they may the Twins may improve a bit. So I don't think I'm rolling with Cade Povich, no. Man. He looked bad on at least the one step this past week.
Yeah, I actually dropped him in some leagues before, like last week. So to pick up Kasperius or something, and I was like, you know what, screw it, I'm not going to gamble on this one. And feel good there. The ones I still started in, not feeling great, but teach their own. Tanner Houck at Detroit versus Atlanta.
Tough. Ooh, that's tough.
I'm still a believer, though, what we talked about on Tuesday.
Yeah, we talked about Houck in depth on Tuesday, kind of the one bad start type of deal. I if you have Houck, I think you're throwing that, but that scares the hell out of me.
Yep, it's a close your eyes, don't watch the games type thing.
Yeah.
Colin Ray versus Miami versus the White Sox might be the best two-step of the week.
Yeah, and we just had in the chat, I believe it was Dr. Doom, Colin Ray's matchups are insane. So, yes, you roll with Colin Ray. Those are two awesome. That's the dream two-step, Miami, Chicago. Maybe the Rockies.
Ray,
but
Colin Ray is a very nice 69% rostered in 12s. Cincinnati, Graham Ashcraft versus the White Sox versus Cleveland.
Is Ashcraft like stretched out? Wasn't he in the bullpen?
No, he's doing his thing.
Okay, because wasn't he like a closer possibility before the season?
I think so. I'm pretty sure he's stretched out. Now you got me second guessing things. No, he's not stretched out. What the hell?
That's what I thought. He was in the bullpen. Ashcraft has shown good skills. Yeah, I just don't know.
He got a blown save today.
There's another Ashcraft. Right. Is it Braxton Ashcraft?
It says G Ashcraft.
Okay.
What in the world?
Maybe there's another G Ashcraft. I don't know. So, no, I'm not rolling with Graham Ashcraft.
Neither am I. I'm really confused now. Because what? It's probably supposed to be 100 green spots there. I think they're assuming Ashcraft probably goes in there. That'd be my guess. So maybe, just maybe, hear me out. Maybe that turns into Chase Petty. Does that do anything for
you? No, I don't think so.
Okay, so I'm throwing it out there.
I don't think Petty did not pitch well in his first stint, I don't think.
Okay, just checking. All right, Cleveland, Ben Lively versus Milwaukee at Cincinnati.
No. But Ben Lively always proves me wrong, but no.
He's got a 3.46 ERA, and I'll just continue to think that's not possible. Mm-hmm. Chase Dolander at Texas at Arizona. I'm out.
It's not looking good not our guy, but yeah, not looking good for Dolander.
Your boy Jonathan Cannon at Cincinnati at the Cubs.
Yeah, start those Reds and Cubs because the Cannon's about to blow. God, guy is Jackson, terrible.
Yeah, so bad. Jackson Jobe versus Boston at Toronto. I can't do it.
I can't do it either. I mean, the skills for Jackson Jobe are straight up terrible.
They're not good.
No.
Maybe he's best to be a closer. Hayden Wesneski versus KC at Texas. 15s, yes. If you have a better option in 12s, I say no.
I'd still do it in 12s if it's the freaking Houston Astros don't do six man. Like I don't. They skipped Wesneski last time. He was supposed to have a.
This is with the six man.
This is with the six man.
Because they have seven games next week. Because it goes Wesneski, Framber, Gusto would pitch on Wednesday against Kansas City.
Yep.
Yeah. Brown, McCullough.
Yeah. Seven game. Yeah. And the 12th is Monday. So, yes, I'm rolling with Wesneski in 12s too. These are really good matchups. And Wesneski himself is good.
Michael Wacha at Houston versus St. Louis. You just keep doing it.
Yeah. Until Wacha dies, you start him.
Pretty much. Just don't get any strikeouts, but you might get everything else. You say Kikuchi at San Diego at the Dodgers. That is not.
Maybe even in 15s, I may be looking elsewhere.
I think it's, dude, I was writing up. I can't remember who the Dodgers are facing. Oh. I think the Dodgers face E-Rod this week. Over the last month, they're hitting over 300 with like a 160 something WRC. It's insane what they're doing right now versus lefties.
Yeah.
Just destroying them.
That's, you're in a tough spot if you have to roll with Kikuchi, but I don't, I'm trying to bench him if I can.
Yes. I would try to avoid as well if possible. Cal Quantrill, sit. I'm going to bring that one up. Simeon Woods Richardson at Baltimore, at Milwaukee.
Not in 12s, very shaky in 15s with Woods Richardson. I probably wouldn't even do it there.
No, I wouldn't do it in 12s or 15s. Yeah, I'm out. David Peterson versus Pittsburgh at the Yankees. Peterson's been pretty good.
Been pretty good. The Yankees start is extremely scary, but
Pittsburgh's good. Is it outside of Aaron Judge?
The Yankees have the best WRC plus against lefties in baseball.
Okay.
That may be just because of Aaron Judge. I don't know, but
that's what I'm wondering. But like,
and they don't have Jazz. Like, yeah, maybe, over maybe the last, it's not as scary, but they've been good.
Over the last 30 games, 274 average, 168 ISO, 131 WRC plus, which over the last 30 games is fourth best, so it's still very damn good. Yeah. But they are striking out 26% of the time, so you get a bunch of strikeout possible, which is something to think about as well.
Yeah, a lot of that 153 still might be Nestor Cortez's opening day shellacking as well.
Yes, very true. The Yankees, Max Fried at Seattle versus the Mets. You just keep rolling.
Yep.
Christopher Sanchez versus St. Louis versus Pittsburgh. Yep.
Yep.
Skeens, yes. King, yes. Emerson Hancock versus the Yankees at San Diego. Nope.
Hell no.
I'm not a believer still. He's like somehow found ways to make it interesting lately.
He's been serviceable of late, Hancock, but yeah, it's some tough matchups and the skills are they're not terrible, but they're pretty below average.
Verlander versus Arizona versus the A's.
Yeah. I'm rolling.
He's been good lately. Yeah. He doesn't go deep into games and doesn't always have strikeouts. He's gonna have Kershaw type stat lines probably. Liberatore, yes. Shane Baz, yes. Tyler Molle, Jack Leiter versus Colorado versus Houston.
Yeah, both.
Yeah, you have to until the wheels come off.
Yep.
Jose Barrios versus Tampa Bay versus Detroit.
In 15s, yes, you might be able to find better in 12s.
I like him over Kikuchi in 12s if we want to start making comparisons on some options.
Yeah, I can get on board with that, yeah.
And then Washington, you got Jake Irvin and Soroka at Atlanta, at Baltimore.
Ooh, that scares me. I would not do Irvin. Probably wouldn't do Soroka either, but if I had to pick one, I'd pick Soroka.
Yeah, I'm out on both. Out on both. Well, for me. So we'll see on that one. But I still have faith in actually both of those pitchers as the season goes on, if they can stay healthy. But yeah, pretty much out other than that. All right, any final Week 8 thoughts before we get to some listener questions?
Let's answer the people.
Okay, well, we got one Twitter question. I think it's just one. Yes, Stephen Crawford. Jordan Westberg versus Christian Campbell in a head-to-head categories league. Who are you taking once Westberg returns from the IL?
I would probably go with Campbell.
I would go with Campbell as well. Fully on board with you there. And then to the wonderful Patreon Discord, which you can be a part of for as low as $5 a month. And if you want all the sheets, it's $7 a month at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. All right. Questions in the Discord. Adam B says, Adam, I'm pretty sure it's Adam Brunchen. Yordan and Teoscar in the same OC. Dylan Moore, Kierstead, Eli White, or change the sheets are available. Who's the board like next week? Clean the sheets all day.
I would clean the sheets and then Dylan Moore.
Yep. 10-4. Fully agree. Colin M says, any interest in Tavares now he's in Seattle?
Slight. Leody Tavares? Yes. Yeah, slight interest. Yeah, slight interest. Slight. Good stolen base guy, decent average, and I think Leody Tavares is going to play.
Agreed. Derek says, with all the closer and reliever blowups recently, any under-the-radar reliever specs worth monitoring and or targeting in FAB this week? Porter Hodge.
Porter Hodge. I don't
though, like I think Fernando Cruz call.
Yeah, Fernando Cruz. Though I don't know about the save potential there.
Yeah.
But and then maybe Ginkle, but that's not really under the radar given his save tonight. So yeah, I'd say Porter Hodge.
Porter Hodge is the man. Dr. Doom says Mikel Garcia breaking out. Yes.
Yeah, I think Mikel Garcia is just like a better hitter than most people give him credit for.
He's starting to play like the guy we all thought he would be last year when he was drafted so high.
Yep.
Young players just take time. Like it's one of those things. He's trust the process. Eventually, it's just baseball's a fickle sport.
Yep.
Corbin Young, good friend Corbin Young, says, how long are we holding Presley? Best options for Stoll. Okay. How long are you holding Presley for? I guess till he loses the job.
No, I have him in tout. I'm not cut. Well, with tout.
Yeah, not in tout. You're not cutting him. Not
yeah, because there's unlimited IL, so I'm just benching him. But I think you have to. Well, I don't know. You can probably cut him, but like it's hard to cut someone who is the closer of a team.
Exactly. That's why I said as long as he's got the job.
You got to hold on as long as he has the job and then quickly cut if it is said otherwise.
Yep, pretty much agree with you there. And then Corbin says best options for stolen bases.
Leody Taveras, Jake Myers.
Myers talked about.
Dane Myers. The other Myers. Myers. Yeah, Myers yep, squared.
Dane Myers.
So either Myers and Leody Taveras.
Yep, fully on board there. And then Bobo Beyond says, Devin Williams a buy low. I would say yes.
Yeah, if you can get Devin Williams low, I think at some point he will be back in the closer role and probably sooner than later.
Then he says, thoughts on what we should be looking for in regards to the Giants' back half of their rotation / bullpen guys. At this, as the weekend approaches, Hicks, Roop, Birdsong, Harrison.
I will defer to the expert.
Well, Hicks and Roop are in the rotation. I like Roop over Hicks. Birdsong and Harrison are in the bullpen until Hicks, Verlander, someone gets hurt. So I said earlier my thoughts on Harrison. Like he's nasty. He'll have his moments. Birdsong's looked really good in his moments. Yep. But unfortunately, there's a lot of mouths to feed right now, and they're all, for now, staying healthy. So Birdsong and Harrison must wait.
Okay. I like it.
All righty. And that'll do it, my friend. And again, I'll ask one last time. Any final thoughts as we wrap up another Fab preview episode?
No final thoughts. Well, Fab on the personal front, we're a little tricky this weekend. Both wife's out of town, so I got both boys. So I'll be chasing them around. One of them was blowing the other one with a leaf blower before bed tonight. So it'll only go downhill from there.
The bachelor pad is in full effect this weekend, folks. Yeah. Watch out.
Yeah. So Fab will be
Roman candles going off on Saturday night down the hallway. Just watch out.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit of, I agree there, Pat, but hey, you know, I say what I say.
Yeah. But you're about to experience what I have to do every weekend. I have my daughter is, Fab usually is a Saturday evening activity when she's in bed, and I just cross my fingers I don't miss too much on Sunday. That's just the way it goes. It's a good week for that, personally, because it's not the best Fab week, so probably True. The best week to have that scenario.
True. Agreed.
But all right, we'll wrap it up there. Make sure y'all follow Ryan on the old Twitter there at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intrick. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next week. But this was Bubba and the Bloom. Episode 241. Catch y'all later.